to begin this way, first of all. Throughout the history of television, some TV shows have provided us with memorable endings. You who are older folk can probably remember the Red Skeleton Show. At the end of every show, Red Skeleton would always say, "Good night, and may God bless." For 19 years, CBS News anchorman Walter Cronkite ended every broadcast with those famous words, "And folks, that's the way it is." Singing cowboy Roy Rogers used to end every episode by singing, "Happy trails to you." And maybe you remember Carol Burnett singing, "I'm so glad that we had this time together," at the end of her show. Well, today we come to the final chapter, the final episode of the Book of Daniel. As Daniel brings this wonderful prophetic book to a close, he doesn't give us some catchy sign-off or leave us with a song approach to the whole matter. Instead, he points us to the ending of all endings, the end of time. He shares with us what it will be like. So let's look at that for a few moments and see what he has to share with us from Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel 12, there are four key things I want us to consider regarding the end of time. Now we need to remember as we come to the end of the book of Daniel that he is an old man, nearing the end of some 70 years of ministry. That's a long time, isn't it? He's perhaps almost 90. In chapter 12, we discover four things about the future that he wants to point out to us, and I think they are worth us noting. In the last days, the great tribulation, number one, will occur. Daniel 12, verse 1 states it this way, "There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then." The time of distress is elsewhere called in Scripture the great tribulation. This time of great distress is yet future when the Antichrist briefly will rise to power. Number two, in the last days, deliverance will occur according to chapter 12, verse 1. I want you to know what it says. "But at that time, your people and everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. The deliverance will come at the end of the tribulation period. And who will be delivered? Well, the answer, everyone whose name is written in the book." What book? It can be none other than the Lamb's Book of Life. The idea of a book in which God records the names of those who trust in Him, you see, is found throughout sacred Scripture. A couple of examples, Philippians 4:3, Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. "Only those names that are written in that book will be admitted into heaven." You know, we all have books with names in it. We have address books, a book of family genealogy. At Main Street here, we have a church directory. It keeps changing periodically, and we add new names and so on. And a formal membership list also is here at Main Street. Whenever we have a church business meeting, which was earlier this month, only those names who are written in the membership list are permitted to vote. When you go to a nice restaurant and you are asked, "Do you have a reservation?" If you say no and it happens to be a very busy night for them, the answer might be, "Well, I'm not sure we have a place for you because you didn't pre-register." The same is true if you go to the airport without a reservation. If your name isn't in the computer system, if the flight is full, you won't get on the plane no matter how much you beg and plead to do so. They even keep books in a sort of a sense on the internet. Sometimes you may be searching for a particular file, and then you get this message that looks something like this, error 404, file not found. God has his books, too. He keeps records in heaven. He has the book which contains the names of all the redeemed. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, the angel said that everyone whose name is written in the book will be delivered. That leads me to ask a very crucial question. Is your name written in God's book? You better be sure before it's too late. I'll explain how you can get it there if you don't know a little bit later. Number three, in the last days we discover from Daniel chapter 12 that a resurrection will occur. Daniel 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This verse refers to the dust of the earth, doesn't it? Listen, that's all our physical bodies are in the end, aren't they? Dust. At the grave, a minister says, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The bombing slows it down. Doesn't stop the process. Cremation speeds it up. After we die, we all turn to dust. And from the dust of the earth, God will one day raise the dead. That's an exciting time when that occurs. Note that everyone is raised, but not all are going to the same place. Some are raised to everlasting life. Others to shame and everlasting contempt. For those who do not know the Lord as their personal Savior, that resurrection will be a terrifying experience. That is not a resurrection for salvation, but for judgment in the place that the Scripture clearly calls the place called hell. Number four, in the last days, there will be rewards. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This lovely verse reminds us that God has his, quote, stars in many places. They shine in the darkness of this world in which we live. Many of you have seen pictures of the famous Hollywood Walk of Stars. Stars are metal plates fastened to the sidewalk. Those metal stars are dedicated to people, say, like Bob Hope or George Burns or Lucille Ball, or you can put any others on that list. Each year, Hollywood honors its stars in the annual Oscar presentations. Hundreds of millions watch to see which movie will win the most awards. Who are God's stars? Never thought about that? Never pondered about it? Who fits into that category? Well, I'll give you a few examples. There are others, of course, but the Christian mother who patiently teaches her children about the Lord Jesus. He's a star, and so is the father, who does the same thing. The office worker who answers questions from her friends about important spiritual matters. The son who witnesses to his parents. The coach who shares Christ with his players. The friend who tells his buddies about Jesus Christ. The Sunday school teacher who prays for her children to be saved. And the young couple who goes to Africa or some other foreign country as a missionary. These are some of God's heroes. And they will one day shine as stars. Someone has said, if you want what you plant to last a year, plant some flowers. If you want it to last for a lifetime, plant a tree. But if you want it to last forever, plant the good news of Jesus inside the heart of a lost person. Then we come to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. What is Daniel told to do here? But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there, they will increase in knowledge. This book will grow in more significance in the end times. Men will run to and fro seeking answers to the deepest questions of life. They want to know what the future holds. Many things in Daniel that may seem mysterious will make perfect sense the closer we come to the return of the Lord Jesus. We come to two final questions. Did you ever feel like you have so many questions that you'll never run out of asking them? I know I have. If so, you're in a good company because the book of Daniel closes with two questions as well. The first one comes from an angel, and the second one comes from Daniel. Question number one, how long? This question was raised by an angel in Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 7. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. And one of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for time and times and half a time. And the power of the holy people has been finally broken. All these things will be complete. Evidently, one of the angels wondered when the time of trouble would finally be over. The answer comes in verse 7, a time and times and half a time. Since a time is a year, the whole phrase refers to the last half of the 7-year tribulation period. When the Antichrist will unleash his reign of terror on this world. The same verse also gives us a crucial insight into the purpose of the tribulation. It is to break the pride of God's people. That is the nation of Israel. God allows the Antichrist to rise to power in order to break Israel's pride and to prepare the nation, those who survive to the end, for salvation. Today, blindness, in part, has come to Israel, which is why the majority of Jews still have not accepted Christ as Savior. But friends, in the future, the blindness will be removed. And listen, they will look upon him whom they have pierced. And with broken hearts will embrace him as Savior and Lord. Isn't that going to be exciting? This shouldn't surprise us, because we all have to be broken in order to be saved. And some people have to hit rock bottom 2 or 3 times before they cry out to the Lord for help. However, the tribulation is not simply dealing with judgment. It's also a prelude to an outpouring of divine grace upon Israel. So question number two, same question as before. How long? But this time it is raised by Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 through 13. In other words, what will be the outcome? God replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Daniel asks for further clarification. He is politely told to not worry about it. Since the events will take place in the distant future, at the end of time. But he could rest in confidence, knowing that the end time suffering will separate the righteous from the wicked. The righteous will see God's hand at work even during the tribulation period, while the wicked will continue in their wickedness. So you see, God deals with the free moral choices that we make as individuals. You see, here is what happens. The tragedy that breaks one heart hardens another. One man cries out to God, another curses God, and still another ignores God altogether. We read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 13 about Daniel's end. Daniel is told to go on with his life. He would eventually rest or die. He would be raised to his inheritance. The Lord's final word to Daniel contains four important messages. It says, go your way, Daniel, you have been faithful. Stay the course. You've been through the lion's den. Keep standing strong, Daniel. You'll be all right. Be faithful until God calls you home. That's what God wants us to do, too, doesn't he? He said, because you will rest eventually. However, Daniel, you're not going to rest in a retirement home, but in heaven. You're going to die. Don't worry about it. Your body will go to the earth. Your soul with God in heaven. Eventually, you will receive a new body according to the sacred scriptures. Daniel, you've had a good long life filled with many struggles. Hang on a little longer and your day of rest will come. You will rise. That is a promise of the bodily resurrection. Though Daniel will die, he will eventually rise again. And it says, you will receive your allotted inheritance. This would have been a precious promise to a man who had lived his whole life in a pagan land. For 70 years he had been far away from his home. Although other Jews returned, Daniel evidently died in Babylon. He died while he was in exile. But God promised him that one day he would receive his promised inheritance. Here then is God's last word to the aged prophet. Daniel, be faithful to the very end. You will die, but God will not forget you. You will be raised. You will live again. We who are Christians will see Daniel again someday. That's, I think, one of the prophets I'd love to see and have some good long chats with. He's not going to be just a figure from history, but is a real historical person. A certain person was dying, and as he lay in his home, the doctor heard him whisper with a note of despair. He said, I'm leaving home. I'm leaving home. Across the town, there lay another solitary figure. In her eyes was a gleam of joy. Before she died, she was heard to say, I'm going home. I'm going home. What about you? When you leave this world, will you say, I'm leaving home or I'm going home? If you're saved, remember, you're going home. So be faithful to the very end. Never forget that this world is not your home. We're just passing through. When we leave this world, we're going home. Until then, let's live like foreigners in this world. We're strangers in a strange land. For those who believe in the Lord Jesus, this world never quite feels like home. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven. As I close this final message from Daniel, I'd like to therefore ask this question. As Christians, how will we survive the continual onslaught of the world against us in our day? It's the same way that Daniel did, by having our hearts in the right place. For us, that means that even though our bodies are here on earth, our hearts must continually be focused on where we're going to go someday, heaven. And if our hearts are focused on heaven, then it doesn't matter where we happen to be on this earth. Christians, you know, should be the calmest people on the earth, even in the midst of troublesome times. We need not run wringing our hands, Remember, our God is still on the throne. And He is working out His purposes here on this earth. The book of Daniel opens with what appears to be a clear triumph of evil over good. And God allowed it to happen for His own higher purposes. I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar didn't know that. I'm sure the Jews had trouble believing it. But it was true nevertheless. Let's get down to the end of the book and see what happened in the book of Daniel. The kingdoms of the earth are destroyed. The Antichrist defeated. Israel delivered. Satan, saints raised. God's kingdom established. You see, what starts with defeat ends with a blaze of glory. In that light, the final words to Daniel mean so much more. Now, Daniel, go and rest, for a better day is coming. I close this message with two questions. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Some are. Some aren't. How do you think you might respond if Jesus should come back? Would you be glad to see him? The final question is even more basic. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? By that means, that is so important, friends. Are you enrolled in heaven as a true child of God? How can you know that your name is written there? Here's how. Have you repented of your sin? Have you ever been saved by the blood of Christ? We had communion this morning that talks about the importance of the shed blood of Christ. Have you trusted in Him alone as your Lord and Savior? See, if you're unsure, I urge you to run to the cross. Run to the cross of Christ. Lay your sins on Jesus. With all your heart, come to Christ. And as you come, you will discover that your sins are forgiven and that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The closing hymn reminds us of the importance of doing that. It asks the important question, have you been to Calvary? If you haven't, I encourage you to go there today.